Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist, Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha Eats.
Our guest on DeRusha Eats is perhaps, well, not perhaps, certainly more well-known as an actor than he is as a whiskey dude. But he is with us today in that capacity. William H. Macy, you asked me to call you Bill.
You bet.
That's what we will do.
Sorry, you betcha.
Right, that's very good. You've been in Minnesota for 4 days now, so you've got the bet down.
Yeah, it's contagious, apparently.
You are here in town talking about Woody Creek Distillery.
Right.
How did you get involved in whiskey?
I started out drinking it.
Most of us.
I'm a big fan of spirits. I love Scotch whiskey, and I'm a Southern boy, so I loved bourbon. My wife grew up in Woody Creek, Colorado, and Woody Creek Distillers is from Colorado. Our distillery is in Basalt, but the founders of it, Mark and Matt and Mac. Pat and Mary live on Woody Creek Road, which is where I live. So they're my neighbors. I could throw a baseball. Well, if I had a howitzer and a baseball, I could hit Mary's...
a t-shirt cannon, perhaps, yeah. And send that flying.
And they came down one time and said, do you want to join the distillery? And I said, yes, absolutely. And I've been with them for about 6 years now. The distillery is a dozen years old. And to be blunt, we make the finest spirits in America. There are others that make fine spirits also, but nobody makes them better.
It takes some extreme confidence to say that when you look at the history,
yep.
Especially the bourbon history in the United States.
Yep.
You're a big rye guy, right?
Yeah, love the rye. I'm here selling it, and we're going to our distributors and to liquor stores. And the sales pitch is, let's taste your favorite bourbon. And then we say, this is our bourbon. Let's taste your favorite rye. And we say thank you and leave, because when they taste it, it's just no question. It's everything comes from Colorado. Within 100 miles, and our distillery is in Basalt, Colorado. And we make everything we sell. Nothing is sourced.
Which some of our listeners may not know, but quite a bit of bourbon.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion. If it's good, it's good is sort of my view.
Yeah.
But I do like, if you're going to sell a story, which any good spirit, part of the magic is the story.
Yep.
There's something more special when it does come from where you are, you know?
I think it makes a big difference. We have a 10-year relationship with all of our farmers, and
all from the immediate area there, yeah, in Colorado,
kind of within 100 miles,
yeah.
And we've been buying from
your grains
for years now, yeah. And Pat and Mary, who started the distillery, have the means to have two goals: to make the spirits we want to drink, and to make the finest spirits possible. So we take no shortcuts, and yet we've been able to keep the price of the thing in the $50 range. And we do everything except tequila and rum. And as you said, I love
the rye
whiskey. It's America's whiskey, man.
I love rye whiskey. And there's something about the complexity and the spiciness. There's that little hint of spice that always gets me.
It's made from rye. We have a one source rye. Rye is a weed. And so when George Washington left office, he started distilling rye whiskey to make some money. They used to call it Old Monongahela because it came from my neck of the woods. I grew up in Cumberland, Maryland, and that whole area was a big manufacturer of rye whiskey.
William H. Bill Macy is with us from Woody Creek Distillery in Felicity's hometown.
Right? Yes, yeah.
And so, you know, there are a lot of celebrities who are attached to spirits. And as someone who loves spirits and loves the craft and loves the farming side of it, a lot of it is crap. A lot of it is crap. It's just a money grab by celebrities or a money grab by the creator to try to attach a celebrity. Some of it is good, though.
Yeah.
Some of it is good. And so it is interesting to sort of, for somebody like me to overcome that bias of saying, like, well, it's a celebrity thing. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. In the car here, Scott Crapo, one of our salesmen, I said, have you ever had a job where you had to sell something you didn't believe in? And everyone said, yeah, I had that job. Yeah, yeah. And I don't have that. It's as fine. There are others. Yeah. And you might prefer a different taste, but it's as fine as it can be made. When you come to Basalt and look at our distillery, it is jaw-droppingly beautiful. Mm. There are these Christian Karl stills that go up 2.5 stories, and they're all copper and chrome. And the whole process I find so incredibly romantic. I really do.
What about it is romantic to you?
Well, first of all, we've been doing this, we being mankind, for a long, long time. We don't even know who invented the stills. It sort of predated written language. And I've read this fact a lot, that we as people, as Homo sapiens, invented beer before we invented bread.
Yeah.
That shows our priorities are absolutely correct. So we started off with a vodka, and we do 100% potato vodka. And it's something to be at the distillery when that happens, because we use close to 1.5 million pounds of potatoes, fresh potatoes. Mm. And when they're coming in and they're making vodka, it's got such a specific smell in the distillery. And I love this fact. There's about 8 potatoes in every bottle of vodka.
Every bottle. That's great. There is to me also something romantic and uniquely American about especially about whiskeys and bourbon. And, you know, I mean, certainly around the world you have scotch and there's the tremendous history behind that. But there's something very much, I don't know, there's a working class ethos, I think. That goes into really a true farmed product, which really is what this is.
We have a little rack house at the distillery. The big one is huge, and we're making a lot of spirits and putting them up in barrels, thousands of them now. Some of it's 10 years old too. And when you go into that little rack house, it is the smell I find just astounding. It's a combination of the white oak barrels and the angel share, which is the whiskey that leaks out through the barrels. It's a smell that I've never smelled anywhere else. And of course, we control the humidity, so it's got a texture to it when you walk into the rack house. Ah, I love everything about it. You know, I was weak in the knees when I saw them testing it, and they knocked the bung out of the barrel, the bung I had heard of.
Yeah.
And then he dipped this thing. I said, what's that called? And he said, it's called a whiskey thief. And that's the little thing
pretty
that
good,
you
yeah.
dip in there to take out. And they keep track of the barrels.
How involved are you in sort of the selection of perhaps an individual run or a limited edition? Or how involved are you, besides obviously these are your neighbors, these are your friends, you're on the road as a spokesman, you're involved in the business, but how involved in the actual, I don't know, are you get involved in the testing, the taste testing, the selecting? How do you do that?
Well, first of all, It's sort of like a family-run business, really. So there are very few people who make the decisions of what we're going to put out. I'm going to say five or six. Mm. And basically, Blaine, our master distiller, but he'll say, you like this? And I'll go, yeah, I like it. You like it? I like the other one. And that's the way we do it. There's no testing and there's no...
it's not the panel of blind taste testers and whatever, the consumer
research. I've done two signature ryes. The first one, I did a blind tasting of 8 barrels. That was an experience because was with people who were so good. Some of these people, they could taste a bourbon whiskey and tell you what county it came from. Yeah. I mean, they're that good. Their palates are astounding. I didn't know what I was doing. They gave me a piece of paper and a glass of water and some chips to clear the palate, and you're supposed to spit into the bucket, which I kept forgetting. So after about the seventh barrel, I was...
It gets a little hazy, doesn't it?
Couldn't feel anything from my nose to my... Because this is barrel strength.
Right.
But I chose... There were 3 that I liked, so that I tried them again. Also, you're supposed to take notes. And for the first time since elementary school, I was trying to see what they wrote so I could write something intelligent. Finally, I just wrote, pick up avocados and dish detergent on the way home. Right. So just so I could be writing something. Right. Anyway, of the 3, I tasted them all again. One of them I discarded. Of the 2, I picked my favorite. And to my great relief and pride, 3 of the other people picked mine, too.
Oh, the same, yeah.
Yeah. But
don't you feel smart when that happens?
Yeah. And I'm the big fat movie star, so my name went on it.
That's how that works. Yeah.
And we put out that, and it's in a really cool box, a trifold thing. It's really, really nice looking. It's a little bit spendy. It's a 10-year-old. And to my great shock, the mash bill was 70% rye, 30% malt. Or was it 80-20? I can't remember. Mm. I thought it was, for sure, it was 100% rye, but it was really good. They were chagrined. They kept saying, are you sure this is the one you like? I said, what's going on? They said, we've only got 3 barrels of it. That's what's going on.
Wow, wow, fun.
So I've recently done another barrel tasting, again of rye, and we did 5 barrels, and I was smart enough to spit it out each time this time. And the one I chose is 100% rye whiskey. Mm. And it's just 10-year-old, bottled in bond. It's just coming onto the market now.
Hmm. Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North. Pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
Bill Macy is with us, Woody Creek Distillers. I want to ask you, because as an actor, you create, but you create a performance that people watch on a screen, or I don't know. I ask this because as someone who works in a medium that to a certain degree feels fleeting, mm-hmm. you have a conversation, it goes out into the world, or back when I was in TV, you do a newscast, people watch it, and then that's it. Here you're creating something that is, I don't know if it's more real than a performance in a movie or a TV series, but there is something tangible. You can hold it.
Yeah.
I just wonder if that does anything for you, if that's something that you find alluring.
A little bit. I love history, and I love knowing where we've come from. So the history of distilling, I find endlessly fascinating. The parallels between acting and distilling, not too many.
None. But yeah.
One that I find interesting is that, generally speaking, as an actor, if you make it in the business, the older you get, the better you get. You just get better because you've had time on the boards. And same thing in distilling. The older it gets, the better the whiskey tastes.
Yeah.
So there's that parallel. It's thin, but I'm taking it.
I like it. Is there a sweet spot for you, an age? There's a common debate in the whiskey world that you go too far, it gets a little too...
Oh, absolutely.
Oaky.
Yeah, yeah.
True in wine also.
Yes,
right?
Everything. You got to pull it out of the barrel at a point. All of our stuff is a minimum of the rye and the bourbon. It's a minimum of 4 years. We've got a lot of 10-year-old now. And I think probably I'm making this up, but I'm going to say 10, maybe 11 or 12 years
yeah.
is the max that you wanted in the bottle and then in the barrel. Then you have to bottle
yeah.
it. It's just, there's something so tangible about it. When they're distilling and I'm in the distillery, it's just a fascinating process to see how it's done because it's done the same way it was done 2,000 years ago. It's writ large with science. These stills are a computer program, but it still takes the master distiller. And there's, since the early days, there's a little spot where when it comes off the column still, it falls into a little catch basin, and that's where he sticks his finger to taste it, to keep the run going. By and large, when you distill whiskey, after you make the wine, there's about 7 or 8 different alcohols in there, and you don't want most of them.
Yeah.
That's why when you drink cheap booze, you get a ferocious hangover. So we cut off the heads and we cut off the tails. And just take the middle part, which is the good alcohol that you want. When I took the tour, I said to Mark Kleckner, what do you do with all this alcohol? And he threw something to me and I caught it. It was hand sanitizer.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you don't take it out, it goes in the bottle and you poor folks have to drink it.
That's right. When you drink whiskey, when you drink rye, how do you drink it?
Neat or on
the
rocks?
Or, yeah.
I think I would say I prefer it on the rocks. I like cocktails, but I'm kind of old-fashioned. As a matter of fact, an old-fashioned is my favorite.
I think that's the number one cocktail here in Minnesota anyway, the old-fashioned.
I've been told if you want to take the measure of a bartender, ask him or her to make an old-fashioned. I wrote a song about this, too. There's a new old-fashioned and an old-fashioned, and I like the old-fashioned where you muddle the fruit and little spritz of club soda at the top. But
that's the Wisconsin style. That's
yeah.
how they still do that over in Wisconsin. The fancy bartenders here will give you a look when you want it.
Yeah.
But it is delicious.
I'm a big fan of gin and tonics. Just because it's so simple, and also because our distillery is owned by Mary Scanlon, one of the very few distilleries in America owned by a woman. And she put out a gin, Mary's Reserve, and it's a purple gin. It's purple with butterfly pea blossom, and that's the best stuff you've ever had in your entire mouth. It's just great. I joke that it's not only tastes good, makes you a little taller and smarter, too.
Bill Macy is with us, Woody Creek Distillers. You guys have been involved in sponsoring some of our sports teams as well.
Yep, women's hockey.
Women's hockey. Tonight is the night, right? The Frost?
Yeah, I think to the game tonight, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. This has to be, what a fun chapter for you to be able to be on the road. And shouldn't you be working? Don't you? What's going on in the acting world?
Well, I'm still acting. I just said yes to a film, and but I work a little bit less than I used to. I was on a series forever, and that's pretty much a full-time job. Yeah. But I live in Woody Creek, and everything I used to be able to do in Hollywood, I can do from Woody Creek. And I'm a little pickier about what I choose to do. And I do love being the spokesperson for Woody Creek, because I get to travel around, and the people in this industry, the hospitality industry, we call it, are endlessly fascinating. Mm. And I love that there's so many men in it, probably a lot more men than women. And I generally don't think of men and hospitality in the same thought.
Huh, true. Yeah.
But they are deadly serious about it, man. The people who own these bars, they think about the customer's experience from the time they walk in the door until they leave. They think of everything in the good bars. Sean Kenyon, bartender of the year for a couple of years, coolest dude in America, demonstratively. I took a motorcycle trip with him. We had a blast. Mm-hmm. But he's got some bars in Denver, and it's just great the way he thinks about every part of your experience when you go into his bar.
Yeah. I think there's a lot, especially our society has gotten more lonely, yep, more isolated. And there is something, there's something about a bar, and it's not, doesn't have to be about the drinking. It is, mm-hmm, about the community, I think.
I know, and it's been that way for couple of thousand years.
Yeah. Do you worry at all? I mean, we are definitely seeing a younger generation redefining the way that they go out and the way that they imbibe, and mm-hmm, we're seeing spirits down and wine down, beer down. It seems their cannabis is up.
Yep. I think it's all a good thing. I am very, very confident that drinking spirits is not going to go away. It hadn't gone away for 2,000 years, and I don't think it's going to go away in the next couple.
I think you're right.
But I think it's good that people are drinking more responsibly and taking care of their health.
Yeah.
And I love cannabis, personally. I find it very creative. I don't think there's a problem there.
No. Yeah, I think if people end up drinking in a more choosy way and drinking better. I mean, just getting smashed is, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you how old-fashioned I am. Sometimes I really love it when we've got this, when we're up in Colorado, the Scanlons have a place called 2 Mile, and we go up there and build a big fire outside, mm-hmm, and everyone sits around, and you sip a little rye whiskey and smoke a cigar. I just love it.
Yeah.
You stink for about 3 days. But
there is that.
Yeah.
Bill Macy is here. Woody Creek Distillery. You can find it at a number of fine liquor stores, mm-hmm, and restaurants and bars here in the Twin Cities. Before you go, our next segment, we are ranking our best finales. Excellent final episodes, final TV series. Finales. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I'm really, really proud of Shameless. I had a lot to do with it. I had strong opinions about it. And we started talking about a year and a half before it ended. And, man, you can blow it. I mean, some shows end and people are actually angry with the last show. They go, what's that about? But I thought what John Wells did, and a guy named Chris Chulak directed it. But I thought that final show was sublime. And I think my character, Frank Gallagher, had to go out that way. It was my idea that he didn't die of cirrhosis of the liver, but that he gets COVID and nobody knows it. And I just thought it was beautiful. It was funny and it was true and it was moving. And I was fine with it, you know, 11 years.
Yeah, there amazing.
Was, a lot of people were thinking, oh, man, this is going to be tough to let go of. And I was doing well until, for those of you who haven't seen it, Frank sort of ascends out of the bar through the roof and into the heavens. And I love the way they shot it. But I was up on this scissor lift, and Chris Chulak, who directed it, he says, Bill, look into the camera. This is the last time we will ever see Frank Gallagher. And I completely lost it up on oh, I blubbered like a baby. that was something.
It's a lot of pressure, right? You want to have it be true to the story, but you also want to serve the audience for what their needs are. Do you do a happy ending? Do you do the right ending?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I was so proud to be in Shameless because they were so bold for 11 years. They never shied away from anything. I love the way we dealt with sex on that show. It was so matter of fact and honest. And interestingly, I happen to know that there were not many complaints. And every show gets a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
There are people. But it was so honest and so simple and so obvious. People took it in stride.
Cool. Bill, so fun to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. And this is good.
Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast on WCCO Radio, 830 AM. We do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars, and leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.